violence tends to spike during the summer months when the weather is warmer and school isn't in session. Cincinnati officials hope to get ahead of that trend with Summer in Cincy, a series of programs for children and teens aimed at reducing violence. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about the program and how it's worked in the past are Cincinnati Police Chief Teresa Thiege, City Consultant Iris Rowley, and Cincinnati Recreation Commission Director Daniel Betts. Thank you all so much for being here.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Chief, Cincinnati Police responded to five shootings overnight on May 30th. Just days after that, a 17-year-old died in Westwood after being shot multiple times. Are you concerned this could be a tough summer, a violent summer?
I'm not more concerned this year than I have been in years past. Obviously, summer brings its challenges for many cities across the country when it comes to violence. So I'm not overly concerned, but we have a plan. So we're ready for whatever the summer brings us.
Well, and what does the data show in terms of violent crime this past May, for example, compared with previous years? What are the trends showing you?
Yeah, so right now, our shooting victims, because we keep several different counts and data, we count the number of victims in the city and the number of incidents, because obviously you could have an incident that has more than one victim. So right now, we are showing a 27% reduction in our victim count, in our shooting victim count, and roughly 26% reduction in our incident count. Above and beyond that, we also track what's going on with our juveniles in our community. We started doing that about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, because we saw such an uptick with the youth being both involved in the crime as the suspects and as the victims. And so right now, our counts are down as well with our juvenile victims.
And is that kind of year-to-date percentages
yes.
that you're looking at?
Yes, that's all year-to-date. We also track this data, the victim count and incident count, by three-year average. And so over the last 3 years, the numbers are down even greater.
So the trend is encouraging.
It is very encouraging.
Iris, this is the third year the city's had this special summer programming for kids and teens that's aimed at preventing violence. What kind of impact do you think this programming has had in previous years?
I think that keeping up with societal issues and things that are out of control of the city's government and even out of the police control, I think what is different and what will bring a even greater significant impact is that we're all in for Summer in Cincy, and that everyone should be pushing every youth and their family towards one of these or more than one of the programming that is available. I think what will have a greater impact is the investment that the city, the Parks Foundation, Cincinnati Recreation Commission and its foundation, and even to community people leaning in and stepping up to be of assistance to families and youth in the city of Cincinnati. And my last thing that I want to say is that I think that in Cincinnati, we are not afraid of doing something new and different. And you will hear that from both the chief and from the director of our recreation department.
Director Betts, can you tell us about some of the programs being offered this summer?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's quite a bit we're doing for Cincy in the summer. You know, one of the programs that we're most proud of is we piloted a program, Rec at Night, and working with Chief and the police department, they identified, five neighborhoods that had an uptick of youth violence. We targeted two of those neighborhoods, one in the West End, Lincoln, and then Hirsch and Avondale, North Avondale. And we piloted this Rec at Night program, thinking we were going to have about 50 young people on a Saturday night. That ended up being last summer about 300 to 400 young people at each site.
Wow.
What it really demonstrated is that there was a demand to program to teens in our city in the summer from the ages of 12 to 17. I think, what's worth also highlighting about this program is that the state recognized this program through the Governor's Award for Innovative Programming. This program is not just about CRC Blue Shirts. This is our partners and in collaboration with not only the police, but fire and so many other city employees who volunteer their time on a Saturday night to spend time with these young people. And then we grew the number of vendors that are contracted vendors that come in and do hair cutting and braiding for the young people. We provide food for the young people, DJs, arts and craft programming. It really is a very comprehensive program. So we extended the amount of vendors this year from where we had roughly about a half a dozen last year to this year. We have more than a dozen or more that have come on board. So and then Parks is doing, a program on the banks that we're excited to support and be in collaboration with them on, where young people will be able to skate on a Friday night. So we have both Friday night and Saturday throughout the summer for young people. And then both our organizations are doing extended programming for teens on the weekend during the day as well.
That's a lot going on. Iris, why do you think that programming on the banks down on the riverfront is so important? Does that tend to be a place where young people are gathering anyway?
Oh, man. And so I'm quite sure the chief is chomping at the bits to chime in on this one. Yes, we've seen the migration of our youth go from communities to downtown, the Government Square, Fountain Square. And now we've seen over the last couple of years the migration to the banks, Smell Park, and the like. And I don't know if you remember this, but 4 years ago, and I know Daniel remembers this, because this is when we started this youth violence problem-solving project after the two young folk were shot down at Smell Park. And so the consistency to your previous question, the consistency for continuous improvement will help to make a broader impact, because we know that the children are moving, and not just towards the banks, but if you are listening to our first responders talk about parking garages and the like. And that's why it is time for all of us to lean in and really help the city and all of its structures come up with continuous programming for youth and their families. We had a big meeting last night under Act for Cincy, Achieving Change Together, which is a sister, brother, mother, father, I don't know, the summer in Cincy. But with those additional action teams working on thriving neighborhoods, reducing accessibility of firearms to youth, improving well-being and improving youth support and evidence-based policing innovations, all of this, Lucy, will help Cincinnati have a greater impact on violence and help create a pathway so that all of our children in the city of Cincinnati and surrounding areas can see that they matter, they're valued, and they're loved by what you see being presented today.
Chief, do you want to weigh in on that? How important are the locations of these programs, not only having quality programs that you know, kids and teens want to attend, but just where they are?
Yeah, so I've said for several years now, we are an extremely data-driven organization. And so to Director Betts's point, when we, the city collectively, got together to decide where we need to do some programming, one of the first things we do is look at the data. Where does the data tell us we should go instead of us just deciding? And so we were seeing an uptick in juvenile activity. Some of it was just disorderly type behavior. Some of it was criminal behavior. But it was what we saw were youth who had idle time on their hands. And what we want to do is we want to keep them busy. We want to keep them busy. We want to give them some things to do that make them feel like they matter. And so that's where this was all kind of born out of. This really is the brainchild of the city manager. For many years, people would look at the police and say, what are you going to do to keep our city safe for the summer? What our city manager has challenged us to do is, as department heads for her, is Team Cincy, what are you going to do, everybody collectively, to keep our city safe for the summer?
It's not just the police.
Correct.
Yeah. We're talking in this recorded interview about Summer in Cincy, a series of programs for children and teens aimed at reducing violence during the summer months. Director Betts, I understand teams helped design some of these programs. I'm thinking of specifically about Rec at Night. Can you talk a little bit about how that worked and what kind of difference that's made?
Sure. Like the chief said, you know, the leadership of this and the challenge for the departments was to actually come up with different programs that would address meeting the needs of young people. And so when the challenge came to us to look at something like Rec at Night, what we did is we looked at both nationally what other cities were doing to address teen and youth violence. We based this model of Rec at Night off of Washington, D.C., Parks and Recreation. So I want to give them a shout out because certainly their team helped my team figure this out. But one of the things that was important in their model is that they had advocacy and they had support from teens. So we have youth teen councils. And so what we did is we start pulling teens over a series of probably about four meetings. Well, we actually put them in a room and with my team talked through what a Rec at Night, I mean, to the point where Rec at Night really was a name and branding that came from both my marketing and a team that was in the room who works on supporting our marketing team as an intern. So teams were at the very forefront, if you will, of planning what Rec at Night would look like. Clearly, there were some things that I think in this process, there were some ideas that teens came up with that we could not support, but they were minimal. The things that we were able to get alignment and agreement on and eventually do were, you know, things like bringing artists in, DJs. This year, we're going to be bringing in a local artist. I'm not going to mention that name of that local artist, but that artist is...
No spoilers, huh?
No spoilers right now. But that artist is... highly acclaimed in not only in the Cincinnati region and community, but nationally has done some work with folks like Usher and some other artists who are national brands. We're going to have that artist come in and do a concert for young people in a rec center doing this Rec at Night. So that was an idea that teens had last summer, and we just was not able to make that happen. But it was important to us, and I think it was important for the city, too, from the mayor and the city manager standpoint, to make sure that we engage young people around the opportunities as far as programming that we were looking to create for them in the summer.
Yeah. Iris, I introduced you as a consultant to the city, but you also are somebody who somehow seems to be everywhere talking to everyone. What do you hear from young people about these programs? Were they excited about them last year, or are they excited about them this summer?
I'm extremely excited and grateful. They also give you the most honest feedback because we were pre-introducing them to Summer and Cincy and all of the transit sites. And so we were ensuring that they knew that good things were coming and that they knew that all the pools would be open and that they knew the rec centers would be open and what the Parks Foundation was doing, what the rec centers were doing and the foundation. But they were excited about being able to be this summer to go into the neighborhoods and be able to go into the rec centers and have this type of programming. And not only that, I kind of told them, like, look, make some suggestions when you go inside the rec centers. Be a part of the work. Be a part of the do. Let your voices be heard while you're there. They want to hear from you. All of the staff and Daniel, the director can tell you, have gone through trauma-informed training. And so people are getting ready. Those are the types of things that will ensure that there's better service given, better understanding, a whole lot of grace, and then a whole lot of fun and smiles, and then getting prepared for the next school year. So they are extremely happy for the most part. But then they're honest with you. They feel like they've been left out. For some of these summers, they feel like that their voices aren't heard while in school. So there's a whole host of data that we've collected while at the transit sites for a bigger report in another show.
Okay. Chief, we've talked about how the numbers are trending in the right direction, at least so far this year. You talked about how important it is that it's not just a police department issue to kind of make the city safer during the summer, that it's a lot of different departments, a lot of different parts of the community working on that. What kind of difference do you think this programming is making. Do you think it's these past few years have contributed to this move in the right direction that we're seeing?
Oh, absolutely. If we go back just a couple of years, the police department submitted a summer safety plan, but there was not discussions with other departments such as rec and parks. And so it looks as though, to me, we are headed in the right direction because each year we are building off of what the previous year, what we did and what the results were. And each year we just set a higher and higher goal and work very hard to attain that goal. And obviously the primary focus is to reduce violence, particularly gun violence with our youth. And so, this is better this year than it was last year. And I'm sure it will be a success this year. And when it is, we'll get right back to work to start planning for next year.
Yeah. Director Betts, we talked about Rec at Night. You talked about this skating that's down at the riverfront. But you also have all the city's pools and spray grounds open this summer. That is not an easy thing to pull off. How difficult has it been to get the staff you need to get all those places open?
It's gotten better. It really has. I mean, when I got here 9 years ago, the first 3 years of that, it was always calling for more guards. And the history that many of the listeners know far better than me, the history of that was that there was always someone that would come up magically and help us open up the balance of the pools by either paying guards more, providing bonuses. So the city actually did that 2 years ago. I think it's been right at about 2 years where under the leadership of council and the mayor and the city manager, where we actually asked for an increase to increase our lifeguard pay to see if that would make a difference. And it absolutely made a difference. We went from $12 to roughly about $16 to $17 an hour, depending on what type of guard one, guard two, this kind of thing. But what we did see is that it increased the number of guards who applied. The other thing that we did is we were strategic. We said that, there's a lot of 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds who could be guarding that aren't guarding, particularly black and brown kids that are in the communities where we have the vast majority of our 23 pools. We created an academy. We partnered with the county. Hamilton County provided some resource. The city provided resource. And then we started this academy where we took in the 13-year-olds. We put them on a deck. They wasn't lifeguards at 13. We provided them a stipend. The stipend was somewhere around $1,000 for a 10-week program. But that also increased our pool of candidates for sustaining the number of guards. And so, yeah, I'm very happy and very pleased to say this year we're opening all 23 pools, all 9 spray grounds. In fact, this weekend, all pools will be open, weather permitting, obviously. But that is a good thing. And for us, it's also important for us to create swim lessons and free swim in community. So I've had a number of private donors who have come up and of our 23 pools, we probably got about 11 of them that are free to the public. We list that on our website. We'll make sure that we share that with you so you have that. But that's also good for us because not only are we allowing people to get into our pools in various communities at no charge, but we're also providing swim lessons at those same locations free of charge as well. Because it's also important for us to make sure that young kids get learn to swim. I mean, that truly is a serious issue for us as a city, as a community, that we want to make sure that providing the young people and the parents get them to the pools. We want to be able to make sure there's no deterrent from young people entering the pool and young people getting free swim lessons.
Right. I mean, that's life-saving training right there.
It absolutely
that
is.
Yeah. That is.
And let me just say, too, I can't tell you the number of people I come across, adults in Cincinnati, who have come through the pools, who have been lifeguards, like, and are in serious leadership in our city right now. So, yes, you're absolutely right. It is not only a life skill, but it's also a leadership component to have a 15, 16-year-old, a lot of responsibility on a pool deck to assure that we're safe.
I will say our producer, Selena Reeder, was a lifeguard at one of the city's pools back in the day. So, yep, yeah, there you go. Iris, we've been talking about all these, this wonderful programming. I saw the statistic that 7 children each day died by firearms in the U.S. in 2023. So many more were injured and survived, or they felt the impact of gun violence because of its effects on their family members, friends, or their communities. What do you think it's going to take to keep reducing violence?
Oh, you know, I think it's going to, one, take the adults to be better adults. We're in a serious conundrum because of our state legislators and the space that we're in as a constitutional carry state. We have been asking in the community, where in the world are all of these firearms coming from, and how do they make their way to and in the communities? And now that we're constitutional carry, you can get a firearm quicker than you can get something to eat, a hug, a quality education, and affordable housing. And while I say that in that particular way, because it is all of those things that will encourage unproductive behavior if not managed and met for people's needs. It is going to take so much of our assistance with government to lobby for better state policies so that we can hold these gun shops, sales accountable, and be able to hold people accountable who own firearms. It's going to take continuous education around guns, because it's not just an Ohio issue. This is a national issue. Violence is being promoted to young people. It's being sold to young people. So we're going to have to combat all of that. We're going to have to make sure we stay front and center, stand 10 toes down, make sure they understand the dangers, the harm of firearms. This is not a video. It's not a video game. This is real life. So while we are on this radio, and I'm on Zoom, and you have two of the top city leaders there, it's going to not just take with parks and recreation and police. It's going to take community as well. What are we willing to do? How much are we going to lean in to assist those that are coming up with this? Because at the same time, we have to do and be responsible for our children. We have to be talking to them every single day while we lobby the state, while we hold everybody else accountable, while we try to talk with them about the dangers and the importance of understanding how harmful these particular items can be. So it's going to take all of that and more. And I believe it's going to, you know, I have more days behind me than in front of me. It's probably going to take up to my very last breath, because I'm not going to stop teaching and telling. And so it's going to take all of us to have that type of motivation to stay in this, to help move it, to help educate, to help love, to help guide, and just be present. It's going to take all of it.
Chief, what would you like to see? What would you like to see more of us do to make this a safe summer for our kids, for our teens?
Yeah, so to just kind of build off of what Iris just talked about, I think what I would like to see community people do is, especially the ones who own firearms, be a responsible firearm owner. By that I mean, we prefer you not bring your firearm if you're coming downtown for an event. We do have some problems with cars getting broken into, and the people that are doing this are specifically looking for firearms. So if you leave your firearm at home, that's one less firearm that could potentially be stolen and be out on the street. The other thing is, we will be kicking off our gun safe storage campaign. We did this last year just to help people understand some of the tidbits of information that we have that help them be responsible gun owners. And if you do leave your firearm at home, make sure it's safely secured at home as well. It's not just about don't have it in your car. It's about safely storing it wherever it is.
Hmm. Anything you want to add, Director?
Yeah, I would just add, I think, and for what we see the challenge in terms of the programs that we're offering to try to counter this is the parents. We need parents and guardians to step up. We really do. We need more ownership, and we need organizations who support parents and guardians to also support and step up to support those parents and guardians who might find it difficult to address the young people who are living in their homes that they have no connection to. I would also say that to the community, we've got to change this culture of, you know, when you see something, you need to share that. This idea that snitching or not coming forward, whether it's to the police or to authority, around something that you've seen that could be dangerous in the community, this is a shared responsibility. What I would love to see is this village concept, like when I grew up on the south side of Chicago, where if I got into something, the neighbor would, you know, chastise and or correct me. And then by the time I got home, I got another chastise or correction when I got home. That's kind of gone in our community. And that's not just a Cincinnati thing. I think that's a national thing. And I'd love to see the village concept come back, because that's what we need to address this. It's not just about Parks and Rec. It's not the great work that Iris is doing on the square. It's not just about what police is doing. It's about what we're all doing collectively to show love and support to these young people so that they know and create safe spaces for them.
Well, I've been talking with Cincinnati Police Chief Teresa Thiege, Cincinnati City Consultant Iris Rowley, and Cincinnati Recreation Commission Director Daniel Betts. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You can find a link with more information about these summer programs on our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez-Cornu. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.